All right. I've been pondering, and I've been looking over the different things, the different issues, what's going on with, you know, why is it that God seems to answer some prayers and other prayers he doesn't? Why is that? What's going on? What gives? We pray for justice. We pray for God to stop these bad people. Something I've been really, 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 really beating my head against the desk, looking at this, dealing even with Taiwan. I'm driving down the road and every single light on the road turns red. The next light's green, but my light's red. As soon as my light turns green, the next light turns red. It's like they time it so you stop at every single light. And there's no care, and the people are just beaten down and oppressed, which I talked about that, the cadence of conflict this week at the Pacific Times editorials in the Symphony. You know, they're beaten down and oppressed. And when people are beaten down and oppressed, it emboldens the bully, and that's why China's government thinks that it's bigger and badder than it really is. Because the culture is to bow down and kowtow. So I'm over here looking at this in Taiwan thinking, okay, these people have a culture that was made in China, but they're trying to escape it and get westernized. Not that all Chinese culture needs to be abandoned. In fact, that's another problem. There are many beautiful things of China's culture. And while, you know, see, okay, rant time, okay? In any culture war, there's always this subtle, manipulative, controlling argument to try to tell people to keep doing things the old stinking thinking broken way. And in Chinese culture, they're telling all the young people that they can't be slim and healthy and fit. They have to stay fat because they're Chinese and Chinese eat rice and noodles and they have to. Okay, no, that really happens. And another part of it is that they're Chinese and if they like chopsticks and if they like their Chinese characters, which a lot of them don't, although I like Chinese characters, don't we in the West think they're cool looking? You know, those are nifty. You know. Okay, but you know, they you know, the grass is always greener. There's green grass syndrome here. They like the other language. They think English is cool, even though they don't know what a lot of it says on their clothing because it's bad grammar on their clothing, which is a whole other thing. The kids are trying to change and get more Western because they like freedom. They like new ideas. They like being able to have their own opinion. They like being able to pursue the things that don't make them angry. They like being able to do the job that makes them money where they don't go home and feel like losers and feeling suicidal every night. They like doing things that make them not angry, maybe even happy. they like doing those things. They don't like an old grandmother who never made a dime in her life telling everybody what to study in college. They don't like that. And so they're being told, well, you have to do that because you have a Chinese face. That's what they're being told in Taiwan, in the living rooms. They don't have dinner tables. They have living room tables. They make the dinner in one room or they order out to eat and then they bring it into the big coffee table in the living room and they all sit on the couch around and eat that way. That's how a lot of them eat. Very few actually sit down at a domesticated table and eat. In their homes, in the schools, in the classrooms where teachers are ranting about whatever they're ranting about, they're telling people, you're Chinese, and so you must live in this good thing, which happens to be oppression, which comes from the philosopher Confucius. You know they talk about Confucius? They say, oh, Confucius was a Chinese philosopher. Yeah, he was an oppressor. He had a philosophy of oppression, that there should not be independent thinking. He didn't have logic. He shouldn't be called a philosopher. He should be called a brainwasher. See, you get in Aristotle and stuff, you have logic. You have if this, then that. There are different possibilities. This could go there, that could go here. You know, they talk about this. In Confucian philosophy, it's against that. You're told what to want, and that is the only thought in your mind. There is no hypothetical. There is no maybe. There is no being ready for this scenario or that scenario. Those scenarios don't exist because they were not ordered by the teacher. And if you are getting ready for the tsunami that we can all see coming, then you're in rebellion against the teacher because the teacher didn't say the tsunami is coming. And they actually believe this. There actually will be If there was a classroom and they looked out the window and there was a tsunami, Chinese students would stay in their chairs for fear of insulting the teacher. And it's not because of a thought. It's because of a culture of brainwashing and oppression. That is Confucius. And that is in the thinking and the teaching of many so-called Christian pastors in China. A Chinese Christian goes to a seminary in the West. He carries this with him. He goes back to China and he keeps teaching that oppression Confucius teaching. And the seminary teachers in America knew it and they saw it. And they will tell each other and tell the students, don't interrupt that Chinese pastor as he's doing this, as he doesn't want to apologize, as he doesn't want to learn. Don't interrupt him, because if you do, he will hate us and never talk to us again. And the Bible is not strong enough to deal with it. And you get ideas like that, even coming out of the Moody Bible Institute. It is atrocious how much the West, which knows better, has allowed this kowtowing and bowing to happen in their culture. And that culture has emboldened China into being the monster today. We are about to watch Xi Jinping go into what psychologists call narcissistic rage. Narcissistic rage. Someone thinks that they only think about themselves. They don't consider others. They think that they can force their way onto other people and other people should be just thrilled about it. And if you obstruct them, if you get in their way, they throw a temper tantrum and make a big fat mess. Now they lose and they get in trouble, but not before making a mess, because being narcissistic, only thinking about themselves, they don't know their own limits and they don't know that they can't win. They don't even think that far. It's just me, 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 me. And that is created through kowtowing. That is created by not standing up. Even the parents not standing up to their children raises them into being narcissistic monsters. That happens. So I'm over here in Taiwan praying about this, wondering what to do about all this, asking God what we should be doing. And it came to me. Repentance. God wants repentance. Whatever I need to pray, not I shouldn't be praying for Taiwan to stop this. I should be praying for Taiwan to repent. Repentance is a good thing. That's the thing. In Bible teaching, repentance leads to hope. You apologize, you're forgiven, you have a new life. It's a new you. You've made a lot of mistakes and you're going to have a new you. That's repentance. It's it's a change of your mind and your emotions. It's an emotional, mental change of opinion, change of view. I'm never going to do that again. God repented after the flood. He did not confess any sin or wrongdoing. He wasn't wrong. He was right to kill all those giants created by angels and to stop giants from eating people. That's what the flood was all about. It even talks about that in Genesis. It says the Nephilim were there. The Nephilim were there. Before this flood came. God wants repentance. God, if the only time that God would send a flood on the whole earth is when it's past the point of repentance. And after the flood, God said, I am never doing that again. I'm not letting it get that out of hand. I'm putting a rainbow in the sky. Mark my words, mark my promise. I'm never flooding the whole earth again. I'm not doing that again. That's what repentance is. And God wants all of us to repent. The flood was about repentance. And if you want to pray for change in your life, or for those around you, or in the government, or in the world, pray that God would push us to the point of repentance. Only then would he send something else to stop people who don't want to change. God did not take Israel out of Egypt until Egypt had been proven by all 10 plagues that they would not repent. And then he took them out. You want out? You've got to pray for repentance of your oppressors. Even if they don't repent, God will push them there. And that's your deliverance. Repentance. See you tomorrow.